I know that I have shared this story with some of you before, but I would like to share it this morning because I think it will help me to explain the profound meaning of today's gospel. My friend Sam was only 61 years old when he was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Just a year later, he had lost a lot of weight, he had a hard time breathing, and he could barely move around on his own. Now, Sam was born and raised a Catholic, but he admitted that he had paid little or no attention to his faith for many years. He spent his entire life in the pursuit of wealth and pleasure. And now that his life was just about over, Sam was really frightened. I talked to Sam on the phone, and I advised him to see a priest at his local parish and to ask for the sacrament of reconciliation. He was afraid of what would happen after all this time, so I reminded him of the lost sheep and the prodigal son parables in the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. The sacrament would be one of the best things that could ever happen to him, because Jesus said, "I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over all the rest who have no need of repentance." I told him that all the angels and saints will celebrate that day because one who was spiritually dead had come back to life, and he who had been lost was found. You see, Jesus made it clear that God wants everyone to spend eternity with him. This is why we were all created in the first place, and God never gives up on us no matter how late it is. I said, "I'm telling you, Sam, God is waiting for you right now with outstretched arms. Just go to him and ask for his forgiveness because he wants you back more than anything in heaven or on earth. You and your eternal life in heaven are so much more important to God than anything you've done." Well, I went to his house a few weeks later, and Sam was very frail, but there was a deep peace and a certain glow about him that was undeniable. "How you feeling, Sam?" I asked. "Well, just a little trouble breathing, Greg, but I want you to know that I went and saw the priest." You see, Sam had been to the sacrament of reconciliation, and he said, "That made all the difference in the world." It was the best thing he'd ever done, because a very heavy load that he'd been carrying around all these years was finally lifted, and Sam was truly at peace. Sam said that before that day, he just wasn't ready to die, and he was terribly afraid of the unknown. It bothered him day and night. He fought death with all that he had in him, but death was winning. He couldn't let go, and yet his life was rapidly slipping away. A man who had been in total control all of his life had lost it. But all that grief was over now. Peace was his at last. He said, "You know, Greg, I'm finally ready. In fact, if God decides to take me tonight, that's perfectly okay with me. And when he does, you'll run right into the outstretched arms of your loving father, just like the prodigal son," I said. And Sam said, "I know I will, and I'm ready to do just that." But Sam said something else that afternoon that I will never forget. He said, "You know, Greg, I always claim that the two most important things in life were health and wealth. But I know better now. The most important and most precious gift that you can have is your faith. Without that, there is nothing. And thank God that as long as you live, as long as you're still alive, it's never too late. Thank goodness that our God is a God of second chances. I have arranged to give a large part of my money to Catholic charities," he said, "because I want my life to make a difference." Sam was finally bearing fruit. His sincere repentance during his last few weeks on earth resulted in a complete change of heart and a renewed relationship with the Lord. And in fact, his new sense of peace and joy advanced the conversion of everyone around him. Well, I felt energized and confirmed in my ministry, but Sam took a turn for the worse, and 3 days after that, he was gone. But I am forever grateful for that evening with Sam and the opportunity that I had that evening to share my gift of God's love with him, God's unconditional love. You know, repentance has been described as being sorry enough to want to quit whatever we're doing wrong. But true repentance is more than this. It's not only being sorry enough to quit whatever we've been doing wrong, but it's also being sorry enough to wish that we could correct all the wrong that we have already done. And this is the kind of repentance that Zacchaeus had in today's gospel. The kind of repentance that prompted in him a complete change of heart. You see, he wasn't only willing to quit cheating people for personal gain. He was also determined to try and make it right by giving half of his possessions to the poor and paying back anything that he had extorted from other people. The day that Jesus came to Jericho, Zacchaeus was curious. He had heard a lot of stories. He heard that Jesus could heal the sick and even raise the dead, and he wanted to see just who this Jesus was and what he was like. And since he was short and the crowd was large, Zacchaeus climbed a tree to get a good look at Jesus. And Jesus saw him up in that tree, and he stopped and he said, "Hurry down, because today I am staying at your house." And when the crowd heard this, they grumbled and they said, "This man has gone, and he's gone as a guest to the house of a sinner." Because you see, tax collectors were hated by the Jews. They were hated because they were seen as conspiring with Rome. And they often overcharged the people on their taxes, and they kept the rest for themselves. But Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that this encounter was going to change Zacchaeus for the rest of his life. So Jesus says to each one of us this morning, "I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into their house and dine with them and them with me." And he invites us today to do what Zacchaeus did. He invites us to open the door to our heart and let him in. And if we open that door, we will be changed forever, just like my friend Sam was changed forever. And there are three ways that Jesus walks by each one of us and asks us to open the door. The first is when the Word of God is read and broken open for us in the liturgy of the Word. This is a time that Jesus speaks directly and personally to each one of us, and that's exactly what he's doing right now. The next is when the body of Christ is broken and given to us to eat during the liturgy of the Eucharist. When Father Abel speaks those awesome words, "Take this, all of you, and eat it, for this is my body," that's when Jesus speaks directly and personally to each one of us. And the third is when someone is in need and they come to us for help. Because when we go out of our way to help a truly needy brother or sister, Jesus himself assures us that whatever we do for them, the least of his brothers and sisters, we do for him. Years ago, there was a Broadway play about a young man who dropped out of school, rejected his family, and became hopelessly hooked on drugs. In an unforgettable scene in that play, the young man looks up to heaven and cries out in anguish and despair, "I wish life was like a notebook so that I could tear out the parts where I've made all the mistakes and throw them away." Well, friends, thanks to Jesus, life is like a notebook. And thanks to Jesus, we can tear out the parts where we've made all the mistakes and throw them away right now. This is where everything in our life changes. And this is the good news that we are called to share with others, that the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. Amen.